The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcast publishing made easy, libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com.
Yesterday USA Superstation.
The Radio Memories Network welcomes you to the programs of the Yesterday USA Superstation, now available as podcasts. Sit back, close your eyes, and remember.
We need your help. We're doing a listener survey. The link is provided in the show notes. It'll take you about 5 minutes. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong! Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Look, I'm just wondering how good your ears are today. Well, there's one sure way to find out. I'm going to put my good friend, the sound effects man, to work. And I want you to guess which seasons of the year these sounds represent. All set? Here we go. Sound effect number one. Got it? Well, if you said summer and the baseball season, you're correct. Now, sound effect number two. Well, that was a cinch. Jingle bells and the good old winter time. Now, here's why I picked those sounds. Training in the spring, summer, and fall is a swell idea. I'm for it 100%. But the fellow who really gets the most good out of a training program like Jack Armstrong's is the fellow who goes right on training, and training hard 365 days out of the year. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. So if you've been training Jack Armstrong's way this last summer and fall, don't stop now just because cold weather's here. Training helps build champions all year round. There's an extra special reason why you ought to go right on following Jack Armstrong's rule number three this winter. Remember it? Eat a breakfast of champions every morning. You see, this keen combination of Wheaties, milk, and fruit gives you an abundant supply of heat energy units, the food fuel that helps you keep warm when the thermometer is taking a nosedive. And say, remember this. Cooking food on the kitchen stove doesn't help a particle when it comes to the job of helping you keep warm. No, sir. The temperature of the food hasn't got a thing in the world to do with it. It's the amount of heat energy units contained in the food itself that really does the job. And Wheaties, made from choice whole wheat, are brimming with those important heat energy units. So take a tip from many of your favorite champions who rate Wheaties their favorite year-round training breakfast. Remind Mother to get a couple of packages of those extra good whole wheat flakes tomorrow and serve you a breakfast of champions every morning from here on in. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. An exciting drama is underway under the cloak of darkness in Manila Harbor. Uncle Jim and Betty are on the schooner Spindrift, which has brought them to the Philippines in search of some precious uranium-235 lost in a sunken ship in the Sulu Sea. With them, but safely bound, is the international adventurer Dr. Chapatto, who tried to steal from Uncle Jim an important shot and luminous ring needed to locate the uranium. But through the darkness of the harbor, a skiff is approaching the schooner Spindrift. In it are Lazaro and Blackbeard and others of Chapatto's crew on their way to the Spindrift to rescue Chapatto and steal the chart and luminous ring. And in the stern of the skiff is the Filipino Michelle, in the pay of Chapatto, but whose life has been saved by Jack and Billy. He is supposed to be guarding Jack and Billy, who are tied hand and foot in the bottom of the skiff, but who hope to work loose in time to help Uncle Jim and Betty when the crucial moment arrives. Listen.
Did they tie you pretty tight, Billy?
I'll say they did, Jack. I can't move my hands or even wiggle my feet.
Yeah, I trussed up tightly, too. But Michelle will cut us loose when he gets a chance. Won't you, Michelle?
I cut you loose. You, my friend, you saved my life. But you wait. They see me now.
We'll wait. But you'd better not forget. We ought to be getting pretty close to the Spindrift, Jack.
I can't see from the bottom of the boat. It's too dark to see anyway.
But we'll be there in a minute or two.
Gosh, Jake, do you suppose Uncle Jim and Betty saw what was happening to us? They could have seen us when the destroyer flashed its searchlight around the harbor. Boy, oh boy, if they didn't, they're going to be in an awful tough spot.
I bet a million Uncle Jim saw what happened. He'd be looking for us. He'd be wondering if we recovered the chart and ring.
Have you still got them, Jake?
That's a lot, Billy. If Lazaro or Blackbeard ever suspected that we actually had them with us, then we'd be in a tough spot.
Jumping Jiminy, we sure would be. Do you suppose Uncle Jim and Betty are having any trouble with Geppetto?
Not if I know Uncle Jim. He probably has Geppetto tied up so he can't do any mischief.
But I wonder what Uncle Jim is doing. I mean, if he did see us.
He's planning something. He isn't going to stand by and let Lazaro and Blackbeard and this crew take him by surprise.
We must be getting close to our schooner. Hey, look how everybody is turning around to watch as they roll.
How about it, Michelle? Are we getting close?
We get close now.
Then now's the time, Michelle. Everyone has his eyes on the spindrift. Cut the rope around my hands first.
Shh, not so loud. If they hear you, too bad. Too bad for me. I got now.
That's it. It's almost loose, Michelle. Cut a little more.
Maybe I cut you.
I don't care if you do cut me. Hurry.
There. More caught now.
Attaboy. My hands are free. You work on Billy now. I'll untie my own legs.
You be careful. If they look, you stay still.
I'll watch them. You get to work on Billy.
Hold still, Billy. I cut you loose now.
Make it snappy, Michelle. We must be getting awfully close to the spindrift.
There. You loose now.
No, I'm not. Not quite. There's still one strand holding me.
All cut.
Go to work, Michelle. Say, I can't get to my legs without moving around.
Don't move, Billy. I can reach your legs without moving. Just as soon as I get my own legs free.
Easy, Jack. Blackbeard is looking at us.
I'm watching him. Okay, he turned around to look at the spindrift again. I'll be loose in half a jiffy.
Gosh, I hope Uncle Jim does know what's going on. If he's taken by surprise, it'll be too bad.
You never saw Uncle Jim taken by surprise in your life, Billy.
There, I'm free now.
I have you free in a split second.
Careful, Jack. One of the men is looking around.
He can't see a thing in the bottom of the skiff, Billy. This knot on your leg is jammed. Put that knife to me, Michelle.
Here. You be careful, Jack.
I'll have you free in no time, Billy. There. How's that?
It's cut, Jack. I can move my legs.
Don't move your legs. Don't move at all. Lie perfectly still, just as though you were bound hand and foot.
We almost there.
Can you see anyone on board, Michelle? What are they doing?
I not see anyone. All quiet.
But golly sakes, Michelle, there must be someone on board.
I not see anyone.
Maybe they've gotten away, Billy.
Jumping chimney, I sure hope so. Because if they haven't, it's just going to be too bad.
Look at Lazaro and Blackbeard. They're wondering why everything's so quiet on the schooner. They're afraid of a trap.
Quiet, all there, Lazaro. There's something mighty funny going on aboard that ship. We better be careful.
You are always so careful, Blackbeard. There are five of us here. There's only Captain Fairfield to worry about on the schooner.
Captain Fairfield is no man to treat lightly, Lazaro. We're almost there at Colonel McComber's, but I still don't see nary a sign of life.
So sorry, Blackbeard. I see someone. I see a head above the cockpit.
Do you hear that, Billy? There is someone on the spindrift.
But suffering catfish, Jack. Uncle Jim can't hope to overpower this crew single-handed.
Well, roll my gunnels under. Does Captain Fairfield think he can ambush us and knock us off one by one?
We will take no chance with Captain Fairfield. We shall rush the schooner. All of us. You shall lead us, Blackbeard.
That dolls my mizzens, if I will. I have more respect for Captain Fairfield than that. He's got something up his sleeve, I tell you.
Truly, your caution is an example for more foolish persons. I will lead the rush. My two men and Michelle will follow me. You shall stay and guard Jack Armstrong and Billy Fairfield. If you think that is not too dangerous.
Why, roll me down to Rio. I'm as brave as the next man. But when you're up again, Captain Fairfield, you can't be too careful.
Off horse, men! I shall go first. Michelle, you shall follow me and make the boat fast. You two men shall come up after Michelle. Blackbeard may stay in the boat and guard our helpless prisoners. It will be safer for him.
Why, riddle my royals, if I will. I'll be on deck with the rest of you. Captain Fairfield can't bluff me.
Easy all. Backwater.
I go now. You be careful.
We won't forget what you've done, Michelle.
Here we are. Follow me on board. Up, over the side.
Oh, I'm in on this. I'm a-coming too.
We're alone and free, Billy.
What do we do now, Jack?
We've got to follow them on board. If Uncle Jim and Betty are still there, they'll need us.
Gee, my Nettie, we won't be much good against that bunch.
We'll be better than nothing. Sit up now so we can see what's going on. and get all set to rush on board with him.
They're
in the cockpit now, Jack. Gosh, I don't hear any fighting.
Look, Jim isn't there, Billy.
Maybe he and Betty have left. Maybe that's Geppetto in the cockpit.
If it is, he's bound and gagged.
Just a second, Dr. Geppetto. Then we'll have you untied.
There. Did you hear that?
It is Geppetto.
But jumping crickets, Jack. What do we do?
Billy, look. Up by the bow on the water. What's that?
It's another skiff. It must be Uncle Jim and Betty.
I'll bet that's just who it is. They're easing this way to save us. They think we're still tied up.
Oh, you hear that, Jack? I bet you Geppetto has told them Uncle Jim is close by in the skiff.
We've got to cut our boat loose, Billy. I've got Michelle's knife. Let me by.
Hey, look out, Jack. They see us. Somebody's coming down.
Take it over, Billy. Knock him for a loop while I cut the line.
Okay.
Hey. Oh, that got him, Billy. Look out. Here comes another one.
Okay.
Ah.
That's two of them, Jack. Hurry up with that line. Hurry.
Billy, push off. Push off with the oar.
Okay. There. We're off, Jack. Watch that, man. He's trying to climb back into the skiff.
Pass me an oar, Billy. Quick. I'll fix it.
Okay. Stock him, Jack.
Don't let him get into the boat. There. He won't try to get in again. Look out, Billy. Someone's getting into the surf.
I'll get him.
Boy, Billy.
I'll
fix him good and proper. Cut a lot further from the scooter. Quick.
Blackbeard, I told you to stay in the boat. Get on, Sogetloop. He's taking our skiff.
I told you to watch out for Captain Fairfield. He did this. He got him loose.
Get that, Billy? Lazaro and Blackbeard think that Uncle Jim untied it.
Oh, that's swell, and they won't blame Michelle. Say, where are Uncle Jim and Betty? It's so dark that I can't see a thing.
Here they are. They're almost to us. Uncle Jim, is that you?
I'm coming, Jack. Are you all right?
Sure, we're all right. Billy, are you sure no one's hanging onto our boat?
Oh, not at my end, Jack. I gave that last chap a sock with the oar that he'll never forget.
My man has a little souvenir, too. I guess they're being pulled on board the schooner now.
Hey, here's Uncle Jim now. And there's Betty with him. I can see them both. Hi, Betty.
Hi, boy. Oh, we were so worried about you and Jack.
We were plenty worried about you and Uncle Jim, too, Betty.
We'll talk about it later, Tex. They'll be after us in a moment. We've got to get to the dock and to our car.
But they can't come after us, Uncle Jim. They haven't got a boat.
Yes, they have, Billy. There's the spare lifeboat lashed down on deck. They're unlashing her now. They'll have her overboard in a minute. Listen.
Boy, we had better hurry. We'd better get in your boat, Uncle Jim. It's smaller and we can row it faster.
Fine, get in. Quickly. Bring a pair of oars. All four of us will row.
Come on, Billy.
Oh, I'm so glad you're both safe.
Did you get that chart and ring, Jack?
We got him, Uncle Jim. We got him from Michelle. We pulled him aboard when a shark attacked him. He's our friend for life. They're right here.
Jack had them with him all the time, Uncle Jim. And boy, when Lazaro finds that out, he's going to throw off it.
Everybody take an oar. Ready, all? Pull.
They've got the lifeboat overboard, Uncle Jim. They'll be after us in a jiffy.
We'll give them a race, Jack.
But, Uncle Jim, maybe they'll scuttle the swimdrift.
Not on your life, they won't, Betty. Not until they get that chart from us.
Oh, I see. If they haven't got the chart, they'll have to follow us to the Sulu Sea to find the Uranium.
That's just what they'll have to do. And if they scuttle the spindrift, we can't go to the Sulu Sea.
The searchlights in the destroyer are sweeping around the harbor. Look, it's on the spindrift.
I see them, Uncle Jim. They're in the lifeboat. They're rowing like mad. They're going to try to catch us before we get ashore.
Pull, Jack. Pull, Billy. Pull, Betty. This is one time we've got to shake them off.
What do we do if we shake them off, Uncle Jim?
We're going up to find that sergeant in the headhunting country. Geppetto and his gang will follow us, but we're going anyway. But if you don't pull faster, Billy, they'll catch us before we get started. Come on, all together. Pull! 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 Pull!
Say, you can bet that when Geppetto learns that they have the chart and the luminous ring with them, he'll follow them even to the headhunting country. And say, Uncle Jim is going up there to question the constabulary sergeant about the missing Professor Loring. And the sergeant is up there because of trouble among the headhunters. That looks as if there'll be something mighty exciting going on up there, doesn't it? You certainly don't want to miss that. So listen in, all of you, at the same time next Monday for some more thrills in another exciting chapter of The Chart and Ring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Look, would you like to get in on an A-number-one idea that'll put you in line for a lot of extra fun? Okay, here it is. Just before you go to bed tonight, help yourself to a heaping big bowl of Wheaties with milk or cream. To my way of thinking, those crisp whole wheat flakes are a perfect way to top off a perfect day. And say, if you find that your Wheaties package is getting a little empty, better remind Mother to get a couple of packages from the grocer tomorrow, sure.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye till Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
The best piper's foot in the land. Wave the piper, Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions.
Here's the next part of the interview with Chuck Chaden. Chuck, you have some other products on your website. You want to mention those? I think those are some interesting items you have available if somebody might be interested in maybe some big band music or some other things.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of things like that. We have there's some CDs of big bands from coast to coast and big bands from Chicago. You can get the Cinnamon Bear set on there. There's a whole bunch of good stuff. It's all on our website, and actually a visit to the website is kind of a nice visit because you'll get to read one of the articles from the current issue of our Nostalgia Digest. There is an article in our current magazine for winter about Gertrude Berg, who starred as the Goldbergs. You read a complete article in there, and then there is an article from the Nostalgia Digest archives at our website, all about Les Tremaine. Was an article we had in an earlier issue about the celebration of his 90th birthday. Shows the highlights of our Those Were the Days program, which we broadcast on Saturday and is heard on the World Wide Web. You get to figure out something about that. You read all about information about our book, Speaking of Radio, including some of the quotes from the performers who we interviewed. And a very nice article from the Chicago Tribune about the book. Very flattered about that. And then we do have the necrology for 2003. The show business people who passed away during the year. There's a full long necrology for 2003 that we keep, and that's on our website, and that'll be published in the spring issue of the Nostalgia Digest. And then, of course, we have our Nostalgia Shop, which is where you can get you can subscribe to the magazine at that site, order a copy of our book at that site. You can buy some CDs or cassette sets of vintage radio shows, even a DVD of the good old days of radio is described at the website. So there's lots of Jack Benny stuff in there as well for fans of Jack Benny. Every February on our broadcast, for 25 years now, we've been saluting Jack Benny. And this is the 25th anniversary of our Jack Benny month in February.
And I noticed his birthday falls just so happened on a Saturday this year.
Well, that's right. It's wonderful. And it always takes a second place to, it takes first place with Valentine's Day coming in a close second,
sure.
The 14th of February. So the website is www.nostalgiadigest.com. Everything you ever want to know about all the stuff we're doing is on there, including a little bio of myself, and you see a picture of the cover of the current magazine, and we're kind of proud of it. There are links to the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the Radio Hall of Fame, and to our radio station where we do broadcast. The station plays jazz most all the time, and we take 4 hours out on a Saturday afternoon for the old-time radio. And there's some big band stuff that precedes us and follows us on Saturdays, so it's a good spot.
That's a nice spot. I think the station before you play classical music, so you must have good taste, Chuck.
Well, thank you. I try to. Yeah, we were on a station for 25 years in Chicago. That was a classical music station. And then, like so many stations, it was sold about 3 years ago. And we had to find a new home. And the public radio station at the College of DuPage offered us the same time slot. Just as CBS offered the same time slot to Jack Benny when he moved from NBC to CBS.
Well, did you get a tax break for making the move, though, Chuck?
No, I didn't.
No, okay, well.
So it was a very nice transition that we made, and I'm very proud that our listeners followed us over to that spot. And let me say something to you, Walden. I want to congratulate you on this program. You've been on this. How long have you been running this show?
Well, the live show for almost 2 years, but before that, with my connection in entertainment, I've been doing interviews since September of 2000 for Bill and others and Frank, and we've done over 100 interviews, and I'm just a fanatic of doing it, because, you know, everybody that passed away, if I didn't get a hold, it sort of bothers me, you know, Chuck. I mean, that's why it's always, I think it's really important that we at least preserve the history, and that's what I like to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing a good job. I know you're a real stick-to-it guy trying to get all of this stuff, and I'm glad you got me before I passed away.
I agree, and I'm and I'm glad, Chuck, that at least the stuff is preserved, and hopefully the museum will benefit from it. I think it really got a big boost for your help over the years, and you're very important to the hobby, Chuck.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. I've gotten much more out of it than I've been able to give to it, but I'm real glad that I've had the special opportunity, as I said earlier, to visit these people and to capture, because so many of them are gone now, as you say, and boy, if you didn't get them, you didn't get them.
Yeah.
And it's marvelous, and they all did so much to entertain us.
Did you keep, in the 70s, when you were starting the interview, did you sort of keep a file of, I would like to interview this person and start looking for the contact? Did that how you approach?
Not really. No. It was not very formal.
Okay.
It was not very formal. It was, part of it was who's coming around, and then when I started coming out to California to do interviews, I would try to get as many conversations with people as I could. For example, I cannot remember who gave me Howard Duff's phone number.
I'm trying to remember. Did you do Elliot Lewis first? Okay, I know Elliot Lewis and Howard Duff were best friends.
No, I didn't. I couldn't track down Elliot Lewis. Got Howard Duff. And then when I interviewed him, I asked him where I could find Elliot Lewis. And he said, well, Elliot's, I can give you Elliot's phone number. And he went to his book, and he came and gave me his phone number, and I called Elliot Lewis up, said, I got your number from Howard Duff, and he said, oh, yeah, Howie. and so I said, well, I'm from Chicago, and I'd love to come and talk to you about your radio career. And he said, fine. And he says, I'm working at Paramount Pictures now. And he said, I'll leave your name at the gate when you come in. And holy smoke. So my wife and I drove over to Paramount Pictures, and we pulled up into to the gate, you know, that very famous Paramount gate. And I gave my name to the guard at the gate, and he looked at me like, you know, what does this guy want? And he checked his clipboard, and he says, oh, yes, Mr. Shaden, Mr. Lewis is expecting you. He says, go right in. Just park anywhere over there. He's in the Cecil B. DeMille building. Oh, my gosh, the Cecil B. DeMille building on the lot at Paramount Pictures.
Yep.
Went up and had a great conversation with Elliot Lewis, and had the opportunity to tell him that I thought that he and Phil Harris were to radio what Gleason and Carney were to television, and what Laurel and Hardy were to the movies.
Mm.
And he really appreciated my saying that. And it was, you know how it is, you meet one of these people and you say, we just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for what you've done. It's enriched my life and the life of so many people.
Yeah.
And the Elliot Lewis conversation is in our book. Howard Duff, sad to say, didn't make the cut.
He didn't make the cut. Oh,
for this one. But
well, speaking of people who are hard to get a hold of nowadays, you sure had a golden opportunity to talk to the one and only Mercedes McCambridge.
Yes, I did. Well, she was in town performing on the stage in Chicago. And, you know, she's an Academy Award-winning actress.
Yes.
And a lot of the interviewers, she would be doing interviews. They always have to do, they don't have to, but they all did interviews in conjunction with their appearances, because it helps the publicity for the show. And that's how I kind of got in on some of these things too. But I think that I talked with her and others more about radio than anybody else did in the Chicago area. And we talked a lot about her her career, and she tells a wonderful story in our conversation. If you'd like to listen to that now, be my guest.
Here we go, the gal who got her start in Chicago radio. Here's the Screen Girl Players from April 3, 1944.
Presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, Hello Frisco, Hello. The starring players, this is Dick Powell.
This is Jenny Sims.
And this is Jack Oakey.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players and musical highlights from the 20th Century Fox tune parade, Hello, Frisco, Hello. It stars Jenny Sims as Trudy, Dick Powell as Johnny, and Jack Oakey as Dan. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Hello, Frisco, Hello.
Nice set of pipes, eh? Yes, indeed. That's the one and only Trudy Evans. And that fellow singing with her now, that's Johnny Cornell. He manages our act. And that other girl, that's Beulah Clancy. She's sort of handed a ham around, too. And I guess I ought to be singing, too, but if I was, well, who could tell you folks the story? You see, this is the way back in the good old days when the century is just a pup. We're singing an old man Sharkey's place, one of the toughest joints in San Francisco. Down on what they call the Barbary Coast. And Trudy and Johnny and Beulah and...
Dan.
Hey, wait a minute, that's me. Excuse me, folks, I gotta get back in the act.
Meet me, pretty Lindy, by the watermelon vine. Lindy, Lindy, sweet as
Judy.
Oh, not bad, Johnny, but definitely not good.
Say, this might be a good time to try out her new act.
You're cuckoo, Johnny.
Ah, Sharky wouldn't stand for it.
Yeah, but Considine's out there. If he liked it, he might book us on his circuit. You don't want to work in the honky-tonks all your life, do you? Truly, you game?
Sure, if you say so, Johnny.
That a girl, let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, in appreciation of your generous applause, we offer our latest musical nominee. Thank you. Okay, Professor.
Hello, Cecil. Hello, Cecil. Can't you see? Kindly hurry. Kindly hurry. Just for me.
Please get me San Francisco. Someone's waiting all alone.
Frisco is her name. She's at the Golden Gate. Why, Cecil, it's a shame for her to have to wait.
Please, long distance, do connect me. Get her on the telephone. Hello, Frisco.
Hello.
How do you do, my dear? I only wish that you were here.
Hello,
Frisco.
Hello.
How is the fair out there? They tell me that it's quite a fair.
Don't keep me waiting.
It's so aggravating.
Why can't you hurry, Temple? You're so slow.
I can hear you now.
I can hear you now.
Hello. No, you can hear.
Hey, I brought the ring and I've arranged for everything.
You know, I love you, dear.
We'll be together soon and then we'll have a honeymoon. Your voice is like music to my ears.
When I close my eyes, you seem so dear.
Frisco, I call you up to say. Hello.
Darling, I'm so blue without you. I think about you the livelong day. When you ask me if I'm lonely, then I have only this. Never know just how much I miss you. You never know just how much I care.
And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? A million or more times.
You went away and my heart went with you.
My heart went with you. Listen to that.
Listen, maybe you better just listen to me. What do you hams think you're doing?
Why, Mr. Sharkey, we were just trying out something a little different.
Oh, you were, huh? You pulled 40 people away from that bar. It's empty.
Well, that just goes to show you.
Sure it does. You fired all of you.
Well, you can't do that to us.
Oh, no? Hey, Petey, Arnie, throw them out.
Out you go. One.
Hey!
Two.
Hey!
Three and four. Hey!
Good riddance to bad Ruby. I heard that line spoken in Ford's Theater the night Lincoln was shot. Well, here we are again, out on our dignity.
Oh, Dan.
It
wasn't Johnny's fault. Just because he tried something new.
And they liked it, too. We sure got a hand.
That wasn't what I got.
Yeah, I wish them bouncers didn't wear shoes.
Well, Sarkis isn't the only place on the coast.
You bet it isn't. He did us a favor by kicking us out. I tell you, I'm tired of these honky-tonks. I'm going right on to the top. And you're going with me.
Yeah, how?
No, I don't know yet. But something will turn up.
Johnny! Oh, Johnny, I've been looking all over for
well,
you.
Well, hello, Sam. Hey, you folks know Sam Weaver?
No, I've been bitten by him. How are you, Sam? Goodbye.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Johnny. I got news. You're rich.
Sam, you've hit it?
Why, there's millions up there. So much gold, you can shovel it up like coal.
I knew something would turn up. There you are. You heard what he said. He's found gold.
Johnny, I ain't found it yet.
Oh.
Oh, but it's up there all right, up near Sonora. I can't miss this time. I just need a grub stake.
Well, all I got is a...
Now, wait a minute, Johnny. Don't be a dope.
How's a couple of dollars, Sam?
Oh, thanks. You'll never be sorry, Johnny. One of these days, we'll both be rich.
Well, I'll say one thing for Johnny Cornell. He didn't wait for Sam to make him rich. No, he got a little money together and opened up a place of his own. The Grizzly Bear, it was called, right across the street from Sharky. And pretty soon, we almost had him out of business.
He always sings raggy duty to the Cadillac swing, back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That is thing to pay the gated and the start to funny needed through the roar of his repeater, how they run. When they hear the fellow's gun, because the Western folks all know he's a highfalutin, scootin', shootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
He always sings,
always sings,
rags the music to the cattle as he swings,
and he swings
back and forth in the saddle of a horse, pretty good horse, that's a thing to pay to date. For such a funny meter to the roar, his repeater, how they run. They hear the fellow's gun, because the Western folks don't know
he's a highfalutin, scootin', shootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy.
Oh, you cowboy, captivating,
fascinating,
cowboy, ragtime cowboy, Joe Cowboy.
Yeah, but we can't get tired either, Trudy. If they want more, we got to give it to them. Come on, kid.
Pony boy, won't you see my pony boy?
Don't say no, and here we go, off across the plain.
Merry me, right across the plain.
Hey-ya, 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 whoa, my pony boy.
Great house out there tonight, Trudy. Packed to the doors. You're standing three deep in the bar.
Oh, Johnny, you've made a wonderful success of it.
Yeah, they got some of the carriage trade, too. Did you see that bunch from Knob Hill? That's Miss Bernice Cross and her party.
Bernie's Cross?
Sure, old man Cross girl. You know, the guy who built the opera house and everything. Got rich on a gold mine. Been dead a couple of years now.
Johnny,
over that daughter of his.
Johnny.
Yeah?
You're not taking that Knob Hill crowd too seriously, are you?
Seriously?
I mean, well, after all, they're just slumming down here. They're patronizing us.
Okay, then we're even. I'm patronizing her, too. I just sent a bottle of champagne to her table.
You did? What for?
Well, you don't suppose I let her think she's better than I am? Why, a dame like that is just the
hey,
same...
Johnny. At table 6, Miss Croft is asking where you join a party.
She is? Sure, sure. Tell her I'll be right out there with him.
Okay.
Johnny, do you think you should?
Now, Trudy, you let me handle the guests. You just sort of take care of the scene, huh?
Yep, that's Trudy up there, singing her heart out. Johnny's sitting with this Bernice Croft. From the minute he meets her, he falls pretty hard. I guess she knows a good thing herself. Sure, Johnny's making money hand over fist. And expanding, too. First?
Just bought another place, Dan, the Silver Palms.
And then?
I'm buying in dance land. I'll make a fortune.
And then?
Ah, that restaurant could be a gold mine. I'm going to add it to my string.
Yes, sir, Johnny's up there in the big time dome. Only some others ain't quite so lucky. Pretty soon the word is getting around. Yes, sir, this Bernice Croft is broke. All the money her father left her is gone. She's got her hooks into Johnny by now. Any minute I look for something to happen, too. And then it does.
Johnny, guess you know who was out in front tonight. Mr. Charles Cochran, the biggest producer in London.
Yeah, I know. I sent a bottle of champagne to his table.
He came back to my dressing room right after my number.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like the show?
Pretty well, I guess. There may be an offer to go to England.
You're not thinking of taking it?
Yes, I am.
But, Trudy, you can't. I can't let you go. Why, losing you would be like losing part of myself.
I used to feel like that, too, Johnny.
What's Cochran got to offer that I can't give you? London? That's a lot of high-hat bunk. Your place is right here. I'll put you over bigger than Cochran ever could. Remember what I always told you, Trudy? Wherever I go, I want you right there alongside of me.
Do you mean that, Johnny?
Have I ever lied to you?
Well, I didn't accept Mr. Cochran's offer.
Hey, what's the idea of giving me goose pimples? Now, you run along and change. You've got another number to do.
Okay.
Oh, Trudy, there's one thing. I mean, you've always been closest to me, and I think I ought to tell you first. Bernice and I are getting married.
Married?
Well, don't I deserve some congratulations?
Why, sure, Johnny, sure. Congratulations.
Come on, Beulah. You're holding up the act. That crowd will wait all night to...
And she's gone. She's gone to London.
Listen, the curtain's gone up and she's gone to... What? Who's gone? Who's gone where?
Trudy's gone to London.
To London? What for?
Because she's in love.
In love? Gee.
You went away and my heart went with you. Your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know.
Lady Esther has presented Act One of Hello, Frisco, Hello, starring Jack Oakey, Dick Powell, and Ginny Sims. In just a moment, we will hear the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Act Two. I know you will want to hear this interesting beauty counsel from a great authority, Lady Esther.
I have one thing to say to you tonight. If you care about your looks, don't put off making my 30-second Lady Esther patch test. That test tells you more than anything anybody can say. It shows you instantly, right in your mirror, the wonderful difference in skin loveliness this one fine cream can make.
My skin is dry. I have little lines around my eyes. Will Lady Esther Face Cream help me?
Indeed it will. While you watch, you'll see those little dry lines begin to disappear. The fact is, no matter how dry or lined your skin may be, how oily or coarse, Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream makes a thrilling difference with the very first application because it normalizes. That's my promise, and you can prove it. You can see the proof in your mirror by simply trying the Lady Esther Patch Test. Just do this. On one small patch of skin, rub a little Lady Esther Face Cream. Choose any part of your face, even the most troublesome. In fact, the more troublesome, the more clearly you'll see the change. Now wipe the cream off that patch of skin and look in your mirror. See how that one patch fairly gleams against the rest of your face. How fresh and fine it looks. Touch it. You'll find it's like velvet. You'll find out, too, why so many thousands of beautiful women, women who have paid as high as $10 for their beauty preparations, now use only one. Only Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream for glamorous loveliness.
Well, Trudy's gone, and Johnny's married. And like they say in them stories, tempus fugit. It's due just maybe a couple of years, and things are a whole lot different now. Trudy's a big hit in London, making $2,000 a week. And Johnny Cornell is put in here broke. I guess it's all on account of his wife. You see, she fills him full of them high-class ideas, talks him into putting on operas. And that's where the money really starts to go. He'll sell his place one after the other. The Grizzly Bear, too. Bueller, well, he and I are out of a job. There's only one place that we could go. Back to Sharky's where we used to work. Yes, it's the same old place. The same old routine. What's the idea of breaking in our act?
Hey, look, it's Trudy.
Trudy Evans? I thought she was in London.
Come on, don't hold up here.
Lindy, Lindy, sweet as a sugar cane. Lindy, Lindy, say you'll be mine.
When the moon and the stars.
Trudy, you're home. I just can't get over it, honey.
I needed this vacation, Dan. Hey, tell me, is it really true what they say about Johnny? He's really broke?
Oh, he's making enough to eat, I guess. Stealing for a hula show down at the beach.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, I've got plenty of money.
No. He wouldn't touch your dough, honey. He's too proud.
Well, we've got to help him out some other way, then.
Well, maybe if it came from somebody else.
Yeah, but who? Dan,
you remember that prospector named Sam Weaver? He's still around town?
Well, sure. I saw him just the other day. Why?
See if you can find him, will you? I think I'm beginning to get an idea.
Folks, step right up, Jeff, and get your tickets. A $2 show for the price of a dime. Get away from your boys. You're bothering me. See the princess Hollywood. See his sway like the palm trees in the breeze. And that's not all, gents. Not by a long shot. Step inside
Johnny,
and see her do.
Johnny!
Sam Weaver.
Oh, look at this, Johnny. Gold. Gold pockets full of gold.
What is it, Sam? Did you make a strike on that grubstake I gave you?
It's a Comstock, Johnny. You can pick up nuggets walking barefoot with your toes.
Hey, Sam, hold it, hold it. Give me a minute till I sink in.
What are you going to do with all your money, Sam?
Do? Well, what did you think I was going to do? I'll have the Grizzly Bear open again in a week.
What an opening night. What an opening, Johnny.
Yes, all the old crowd back again. But you know, Dan, we got to hold them.
I wish
we had a decent singer to feature.
Singer? Listen, you've listened to over 50 girls.
I listen, but I wouldn't call that singing.
Hi, Johnny, boy.
Yes, Sam. He said he opened up that bar pretty fast.
Johnny, we're going to be rich. I got the greatest strike in this era is lined up. All I need is a little grubstake.
What do you need a grubstake for? You're rich already.
Oh, not yet, my boy, but I will be soon.
Hey, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. All right, Sam. All right, let's have it now. Where did you get that dough you gave me?
Oh, no, don't get mad, son. Suppose that little gal of yours did stake and we'll pay her back.
Trudy. So it was Trudy. Hey, who told her to sing?
I did, Johnny, because she loves you and you love her. Go on, get in there. Get back in the act.
Don't keep me waiting. It's so aggravating. Why can't you hurry, Central? You're so slow.
I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Hello. Now you can hear.
Here you brought the ring and I've arranged for everything.
You know. I love you, dear.
We'll be together soon and then we'll have a honeymoon.
Your voice is like beauty to my ear. When I close my eyes, it's you on the air. Bristol, I call you up to say hello. You never know. You'll never know.
what I think. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? A million or more times.
You went away and my heart went with you.
I speak your name in my every breath. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know.
Never know if you don't know now. You went away,
and my heart went with you.
I speak your name.
Thank you, Jenny Sims, Dick Powell, and Jack Oakey, for a very, very delightful half hour.
Well, Truman, you couldn't have enjoyed it any more than we did. It's always a great pleasure to appear here with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players. Every one of us knows the wonderful work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house and clinic, and it's a real privilege to be asked to share it. Dick Powell will be back in just a moment, but first, here's a word from one of America's foremost beauty experts, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Sims. To you women listening tonight, I repeat the beauty advice I gave earlier this evening. Try my 30-second patch test with Lady Esther four-purpose face cream on just one part of your face. But please, make it a real test. Look closely in your mirror. Find that place where your skin shows little dry lines, or where it's too oily, or where dry flakes of skin cause your makeup to look rough. Choose that place for the patch test. Rub in a bit of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, and then wipe it off. That's the whole test. But what happens in those few seconds? That one patch of skin, that one little section where you've applied Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, has changed. It looks, it feels, thrillingly different from all the skin around it. And when you see how much Lady Esther four-purpose face cream does for even that difficult area, you know at once how lovely your entire face can look. Make the patch test tonight if you can. You'll find out in 30 seconds what millions of women already know, that using Lady Esther four-purpose face cream means having your wish for glamorous loveliness come true. First, of course, use Lady Esther face cream. Then spread flattering Lady Esther face powder over the smooth, new freshness of your skin. Your mirror will tell you, and so will your friends, that you've never looked so lovely.
And now, here again is Dick Powell.
The United States Navy is offering exciting and profitable jobs to you American women. Jobs that are vital to the war, useful in providing valuable experience for your post-war career, and unequaled in opportunities for travel and for recreation.
You will earn a salary equal to a civilian salary of $150 to $235 a month. Enlist in the Waves now at your nearest Navy recruiting station. The Waves need you.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Farewell to Arms. It will star Pedro de Cordoba, Gary Cooper, and Joan Fontaine. Be sure to listen. You will soon be enjoying Dick Powell's new picture, It Happened Tomorrow, released through United Artists. Jenny Sims will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Technicolor musical, Broadway Rhythm, and can be heard on her own Philip Morris show on Tuesday nights. Jack Oakey can soon be seen in Sweet and Low Down, a 20th Century Fox production. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, just get the smallest size jar. Later, you can get the economical large jar and keep refilling the small one for convenience. This is Truman Bradley, speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you. And good night, everyone. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Tell the Screen Girl Players from April 3, 1944. I'm Walter Hughes, and may the good Lord Jesus Christ bless you. And this is Yesterday, USA.
Yesterday, USA. Superstation.
Well, howdy do, everybody. Bill Bragg coming your way on the tail end of tape number 7 for the two-week period that began on the 26th day of September. Big thank you to Rudy Stark for getting us started off right, and of course, Walden Hughes. Walden, of course, comes your way live on Friday nights with Frank Brzee, and on Saturday and Sunday nights with a great, great lineup of really interesting guests and cohorts. So check him out. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time live. Rest of the time, it's yours truly, Bill Bragg, along with Brother Mike Handy. A big live broadcast 7 nights a week here on Yesterday USA. And speaking of live, we'll be broadcasting live from the Friends of Old Time Radio Convention in Newark, New Jersey. Kim and Walton will be there live and in person October 20th through the 23rd, so be sure and check that out. And how do we do it? Well, it costs a lot of money to go live from these locations, and we do it with the proceeds from our auction. And the Yesterday USA auction is just around the corner, November 27th, the last Sunday night of this year. And we need everybody to send in at least one item that we can auction off, anything that's in good taste, something you'd like to have. It's kind of like the Christmas party. You know, everybody buys one gift, they exchange names, and then everybody gets a gift. So that's the way we do it at the auction. We ask everybody to send in one item that we can auction off, and also for you to buy one item. Everything you need to know about the live broadcast from Newark and about the Yesterday USA auction is on our website at yesterdayusa.com. Also on the front page, you'll find out that we're now podcasting. That's right. We are podcasting. You can find out about that on the website as well. We are dependent on you now. Get your auction items in there, because if they don't arrive soon, I'm going to start worrying. When I worry, I can't sleep. When I can't sleep, I sound lousy, worse than I do now. So help us out. We are dependent on you.